Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Hey there, Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. Just want to comment and say BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for football, baseball, boxing, golf, and much more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on, man? What's going on? Sure, we been running today. Apologize to everybody out here in the chat. Been moving around. Marcus is up in the Minneapolis. I know he'll tell you about that. But I was with my mother, and so I was taking her home. Trying to push to get up here as soon as possible. But
you're good, man. You're good.
I tell you what, it just made me just think, really. You know, my mom, she's gonna be 90 this year. And I think every single day, the privilege and the honor it is just to be with her, yep, to see her. And I don't take any of those times that I'm with her for granted. She's, you know, she's sharp and, you know, has her mind about it, still joking around. So apologize for that. But, you know, mom comes first and family, as it should with all things. But love each and every one of you all out there, too. I see some of the same people out. Usual suspects, our family. This is our other family right here, Marcus, the people that's in the chat. What's going on with you all? How y'all doing? Yeah.
It's pretty lively in here. I had Wendy talking about, I guess, food poisoning she's had in the past and about time. Says he can't eat Chick-fil-A because it kills his stomach. So there's some good conversation going on here. I like it, guys. A little nuance, a little bit of it. Food, yeah. Chiefs talk. We'll get into Chiefs talk, but yeah. JD, you mentioned I'm in the same time zone as some of our fans in the central time zone. Today, I actually, for the first time ever, I went to a baseball game today. When I was a kid, I used to bring a glove to a baseball game. JD would get in the outfield. Hopefully, someone would knock a home run or a foul ball my way. Well, today, I'm sitting behind the catcher, and they're probably eight rows up. So, you know, all right seats. Byron Buxton, the DH for the Twins, knocks one right over the net, three rows ahead of me. People all fighting for the ball. Ball jumps four rows down right behind me. And I picked that bad boy up.
Look at you. I see you, Marcus. Hey, I see you, baby. That's how you do it. Glove. That's what's up. That is what's up. Yes, sir.
No affiliation. I wasn't wearing my Royals stuff, but I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm not a Twins fan. People there were like, what the hell? What are you even doing here at this game? And like the woman had season tickets behind me. She was like, yeah, I've never gotten a ball. And that was gonna be mine. I was like, yeah, sorry about that. If there was a little kid around, I probably would have given my ball up. In Minneapolis, I gotta tell you, JD, my girlfriend warned me saying that, you know, Minneapolis around this time of the year is usually it's cold. It's usually a 1 month behind us in the East Coast. I'll tell you what, man, 65 degrees today. It was nice, man. I gotta say, this Midwest got it going on right now this year in the springtime.
You know what? I've always said this, you know, because we come up here for training camp right there in Wisconsin, in River Falls, you know, in Minnesota, all that's just right there, about 35, 40 minutes away. But I'd said like springtime, like summer area, that I love that place up there. I really do. Just the whole vibe of it. Just, you know, it's not too hot. Seems like you go out there and have a great time. But the people always have been pretty super, super, super duper people, really. But I tell you what, man, I love going to baseball games. That's what I love doing. Going out there and just enjoying being with the crowd, you know, just being part of it. You know, you obviously watch the game, just kind of sit back. But to see, you know, the things that go on in the stands, right? The crowd and stuff is always a good thing, man. But I do like that area up there for sure.
Yeah, it's really nice. Obviously everyone here is getting excited about the playoffs. The Minnesota Timberwolves, number one seed for the first time. I don't know if they've clinched the one seed yet in the West. But, Minnesota Timberwolves back. So they might be cooking something up. I don't know about football. I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to get them over the out anywhere with the Vikings next year. But I guess they'll cross that bridge in a couple months.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too. We'll have to see.
Yeah, the draft's coming up, so look at the draft in the future.
Yeah, we have to see. We don't know, you know, what they're going to take. We know they're going to probably go for a quarterback for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what pick do they have? What is their pick?
Ooh, I want to say like 12, 13? Because I think their whole thing is everyone's talking about them possibly trading up to get Drake May, and they're going to have to go pretty high for that. Drake May was the QB when Josh McCown was a head coach at a North Carolina school, high school. He was the quarterback of that team. Josh McCown is now the QB's coach in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
The small little family of the football world, they all connect somehow. Mm-hmm.
You know, they always talk like Drake May. I was telling my nephew, because he's a big, you know, UNC fan, basketball, you know, so he adopts the football too, talking about Chad. And so I was like, hey man, look, Drake May, his stock is crashing like the market. I mean, it's, you know, and it's always questions because they said, you know, Drake May might be one of those guys that might be like the, you know, bust of the draft. You don't know this. We don't really know.
He's got a
good arm. I like him. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think anybody be good to have him.
He reminds me of Justin Herbert. His size and makeup. He looks like Herbert when Herbert came out from Oregon.
Oh yeah, I've seen all these people talking about their mothers out here. And yeah, listen, all right, I'm just going back to it real quick. Listen, those moments. If you have your mother, if you don't, like you said, cherish those moments. You know, take every little bit that you possibly can. Don't even want to think about, you know, not having her here. So like I said, every moment is cherished. Right. I mean, life lays at your mother's feet. I mean, so that's how it is. My pops. So I don't know if everybody knows. I'm like the youngest out of 11. So I'm the baby. OK, so the baby, me being the youngest, you know, I'm sitting over and I'm just like, I just enjoy every single moment. Like Marcus is. Marcus, we the youngest. Right. Yeah. We're the babies. Everybody said we're spoiled. I guess we are somewhat. Right. You know, so I just say,
I'm spoiled.
Yeah. We're mom's favorite, right? You know, so it's all right. Yeah. So, yeah, 11, a total of 14. My dad had three before me and my mom got together. And so, actually, 14 of us. So, big family, football team. So, we knew how to do, we knew what it was all about as far as being a team-oriented sport and family. And I have brothers and sisters all play ball and were great athletes, all those good things, man. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, taking care of mom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the least we can do, right, JD? Just take care of mom. You know, drive her around, take her to appointments. Yeah. It's the least we can do for mom. It's all she's done for us.
Whatever she wants, whatever she needs, no question about it. Julia Gooley said, "Let me make my uterus hurt." My mom tells a story. She said, "You know, when I had you, you was last one." She said, "Because my stomach muscles were gone," she said, "I had to hold you. You know, carry you around." I'm like, you know, just even hearing that, I'm like, come on now. You know, we know our moms always make us feel better. So always like that question, like something goes on, call my mom up, like, hey, you know, my dad, different approach. You know, my dad was like, oh, you know, straightforward, fought in two wars, straight to the cut. But he was a comedian, wonderful, wonderful man. You know, but my mom, you know, that heart and compassion, you know, there's nothing like that embrace of those things. So
the unconditional love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's go rolling, man. Let's see. I see all the people, like I said, Andrea, Wendy, Noah, John Marshall. What's up, man? I ain't seen you in a minute. Well, I guess you might have been here a couple of weeks ago. Charles Driver, I'm the Brown, Julia Gulia, all the folks is here. Ghost Hunter 1974, About Time is in here in the house. Seeing you. Donna Cochran, appreciate it. Appreciate everybody showing up. We're going to get in some good stuff tonight.
Yes, we are. We just got some breaking news coming this way. That's probably why we got such a crowded room tonight. Everyone wants to hear what we have to say about what you have to say about this, the latest on the Rashee Rice news, JD. So about an hour ago, it was released that an arrest warrant has been issued for Rashee Rice, one count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, six counts of collision involving injury. So eight counts in total. Must turn himself in tomorrow. So obviously all we've heard, I mean, everything that's came to light since last week's episode, he admitted that he was the one driving the Lamborghini. His name was on both cars. There was some, as far as I'm not going to get into how much, but there was marijuana involved in it. That's obviously not involved in his charges here. So that's nothing to do with it. So that was found in one of the cars. But yeah, JD, everything we know, and obviously he says his lawyer said he's going to, committed to working with the families to try and make it right as much as he can. Obviously his lawyer, speaking for him on behalf of him, and he said, let all those facts come out as well as what the lawyer said. But JD, hearing the charges and hearing all this, what are your thoughts now that we know a little bit more about the situation from last week and the last 2 weeks?
So run them all down again, run all the charges down one more time.
So we have six counts of collision involving injury, one count collision involving serious bodily injury, and then one count aggravated assault. So eight counts in total. And apparently the charges are the same for the other driver of the other car.
Oh, they charged them too, the same? Yeah, same, I would kind of think they would. What did you say, the one count collision with...
Yeah, so one count aggravated assault, one count collision involving serious bodily injury, and then six counts of collisions involving injury, not bodily injury, just injury.
Okay. We knew this day was going to come as far as the charges was going to, was going to drop. And I know... They've been trying to do everything possible as far as, we heard the lawyer come out and speak about some of the things about Rashee Rice actually reaching out, kind of getting to the cops like the very next day. And I know we was kind of waiting to see how everything was going to happen. But, this is significant on the counts. But we kind of assumed it was going to be something like this. There was no way he was going to, this is reality. Of what happens when this unfortunate accident occurred. And so we don't know as far as like with this what the punishment is going to be. Okay. And so that's going to be up to the judge, the prosecutors, how they're going to pursue this. His lawyer, I don't know if it was going to be a plea or, I'm sure there's a lot of different ways they can kind of try to get to some type of reconciliation on what to do. But I think Rashee Rice understood that, he was behind eight ball. He took responsibility like he should have, even after the fact, if you had to say, right? He was apologetic. He understands what he did was wrong. I'm sure he panicked at the time to where it is now. And so now he's got to pay the price of it. The people that was involved, they got injured. Hopefully he's going to be able to and get justice. And like his lawyer said, they've been reaching out to them to see what they possibly can do as far as the reconciliation with the people that was involved. And that's so important. That's so important. So I don't think he was trying to escape from that. There's no way he's going to be able to escape from these charges or him being held accountable for what he did. I think the question is what the punishment is going to be, right? And so just getting away from the football aspect of it, this young man's life has been changed forever from this. And that's, it's important to take a real sober take on it to understand that this is part of, like, when you make bad decisions or you do something wrong, there's usually some type of consequences to punish for this. So I don't think he runs from that at all. But it's hard to hear. Sad to see that, you know, this is what's happening with him. Sad to see. So,
and all eight are felony counts as well. So,
yeah,
it's a really tough situation. I mean, he's a young kid. I'll say this. I'm not trying to, you know, give kudos to someone to admitting wrongdoing, but, you know, he said he owned it, that he was driving the Lambo. He could have easily said one of his boys or one of his buddies was doing it, you know, and then a workaround on the side, like, hey man, like, you take the fall for this, I can pay you this. But no, he took it. I mean, he took it on the chin. I mean, yeah, people could say, oh, we waited a few days to own up to it. No, he did it. In the end, he did it. You know, he didn't have one of his buddies take the fall for it. He did it. He owned it, and he's gonna pay. Now, looking at, obviously, we don't know, but do you think his suspension is going to be pretty significant?
It all depends on how they pursue it. I think the Chiefs really have to, when they go into it, and think, you know, because they I'm not saying they want to make an example, but they want to make sure that he is held accountable, right? They're not just going to give him a slap on the wrist. Roger Goodell's not going to do that. But I do, you know, I said at the very beginning that he's going to do at least 8 games, probably half the season anyway. And so now this may be, could be a full season. And so I think, you know, Noah John Marshall said, yeah, he said he deserves jail time. I don't know if he's going to see that. It might be a significant fine. It may be probation, okay, from this. So
maybe revoke driver's license or something.
Revoke his driver's license. And so and they'll pursue it the way that they need to. This is the things like this happen. Sometimes you do see jail time. Sometimes you do see, like, all the things I said, probation, fines. You know, is he remorseful? Absolutely, he's remorseful. And I don't think he's remorseful because he got caught. I think he's remorseful because he understood he did wrong. He understood it. His lawyer said something that I actually had said before was, you know, if we look at the totality of this young man, Rashid Rice, we don't want to just look at this one incident to define him. You know, he's 23 years old. If this is something that we see is, you know, ongoing, he's been doing this for a long time and stuff, that may be one thing. But I don't think, you know, the one incident will define you for the rest of your life. It shouldn't. Okay. And that's what I had. The ones, like, we are more than the worst thing that we have ever done. And we are, and he is. And I think it's important that we understand that. And I think that's why we came in, Marcus, and we were talking about, like, we understood he should be punished and criminalized and have the consequences to this behavior and this decision. No doubt about it. There's no getting away from it. I think we've been saying that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Now it's the point of, like, you know, where does this go? Where's moving forward, right? Once the punishment comes down, you know, the league looks at it, how they're going to view it, what they decide to put on him also, will be what it is. I think we were even going to the place with us was talking about, like, the grace given to him, right? Because we know his life has been changed, okay? That a guy who's been riding high for this past year has made a bad judgment, an error, defective in judgment, that now he's a whole different pathway. So we try to at least invoke grace, Rashid Rice, right? We have the empathy for all the people involved. We want them to get justice. We want Rashid Rice to you know, own up to what he's did, and he's done that. We want him to be punished for his crime. But we also want to invoke some type of grace upon him as well. Because it's going to be hard. I'm sure it's hard for him to sleep right now. Thank God it wasn't worse than what it was. Thank God for that. And so we want to deal with the facts that we know was presented. We know right now what the facts are, at least most of it, from the police report of what people are saying, and what he's doing right now. So does that take away from us saying, okay, you know what? Rashid Rice, after he goes through everything that he has to go through, okay, we don't throw this guy away. We shouldn't do that. There's no reason to do that. Yeah, we hold him accountable, but we don't throw this guy away. We should never do that. Should never do it with anyone, okay? And I think we have to take a really deep dive and look into these things, right? I was looking at it was kind of when you're talking about grace, like it's Pastor Eric Mason, Dr. Mason, he said, those who harshly and insensitively judge the struggles of others with no grace tend to be overcompensating for their own private and personal struggles that are yet to be known. Those who know their need for the grace of God tend to disperse more grace to others in need. Right? I was like, man, that is perfectly said. Perfectly said. And as me, somebody who understands that grace, understands that if I'm just constantly held under that, the shameful things that I've ever done wrong, and other people are held under wrong and not given any type of grace whatsoever for what you've done wrong, do we want that person to wallow in pain forever? You know, with something like this, we know was he wasn't expecting to do this. He wasn't intentional to hurt anybody. It was intentional for him to think, you know, he's going to, hey, we're going to get past this, and, you know, we're not going to hit anybody. This is what we think, right? So he did something wrong. But I do believe it's important that we do invoke some type of grace to Rashid Rice, right? And that's not, we don't take away from saying that the people that was involved have got, you know, injured. They need the justice, okay? They need the type of reconciliation. And I think Rashid Rice right now is lamenting on those things right now, is what he's done. So, and it's just the place that I am. I'm a place there because, you know, for me, you know, I want to represent, you know, the will of God, okay? That's why I'm sitting over talking about the grace. I know God has given me grace. Thank God. God has given me the type of grace that I need. So I don't want to get from that. Not at all. And so I want to look at it this soberly to say, no, look, this is a young man's life has been changed. The people that have been affected by it, their lives have been changed. Every single person that was involved in this, lives have been changed. And I want each and every one of them to be able to heal from this thing. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. I think what you and I have been saying is not they shouldn't be punished by the team, by the NFL, or by the law. We've never said that once. We did say is in commenting to people who say cut him, you know, what he did was worse than Kareem Hunt and he got cut, which the situations, you can't compare this. They're two different situations. Kareem Hunt got cut essentially because the story he told the team was incorrect about what that video showed. Because once that video came out, I was like, wait, that's not the same as what you told us. So right away, Rashid's not lying about anything. Yeah, he left the scene. He shouldn't have done that. We've said that millions of times. But he's not saying it wasn't him. He's not deflecting and saying, oh, it was my buddy driving, not me. They weren't my cars. They were his. Yeah, and not, at what point has he not lied about anything right, in this whole situation? So not the same thing. And we, like you said, I think whatever happens, he's going to take this punishment on the chin, and we'll see what happens. I mean, but to say it's the same as the Kareem Hunt thing, it's not, because he lied to the team, and the team found out about it. This is, I mean, Rashid hasn't lied about anything so far as, I mean, from what we've seen. His lawyer pretty much owned it all.
Right. So we're not excusing him, absolving him from any of those things that he's done. Not at all. So, and the Chiefs will go forth what they feel that the decision is right. They will. My thing is, I don't think we just throw a guy away. If anything, this is where people need to come around and put their arms around and support him, because he is in a bad place. I think I've seen somebody said, You know, I pray. Andre said, I pray for his mental. Why is he going through this, or why he is going through this ordeal? Absolutely. 100% pray for him. You know, because when you find yourself in a dark place, you're like, you need friends. Like you have enough shame already. Like, put out here on the front page of the press, like, people know, like, one of the worst things that you ever done in your life that you didn't really mean to do, but here you are. Okay? Here you are. Sometimes I do have that problem, like I just read that, is sometimes the people that are harsh on others, that they don't give grace, is because they may be hiding some things in their lives, right? Oh, look at this guy. Look, oh, with, shoot, like I said, what have we done wrong? What if some of the worst things, our bad decisions, then put out on front page? How would we feel about it? You know, we just haven't been caught. Some of us haven't been caught in it. You know, we've been young and dumb. I could talk, you know, with two. And done some stupid things. Absolutely stupid, ignorant things. You know what really irks me? You know what really irks me? Is when I do read these comments and I do hear people talking. And it is, throw the book at the guy. Okay, sure. Then what? What do you want the guy to do? You want to throw away the key? Lock him up, throw away the key? You want a public flogging? Because this is what's going on right now. He's getting flogged, you know, in the press, right? As he should. I mean, shoot, we could talk about the bat. Yeah, we could, absolutely. So, like you said, take it on the chin. Take your punishment the way he's supposed to, right? Okay, now pick him up. Okay, I think he's gonna learn from this. No doubt about it, he's gonna learn from this. Not only this, and here's the reality is other people's gonna learn from this. Hopefully, okay, they're gonna be talking about this in the NFL, and this is gonna be an example. Some might have learned from the Henry Ruggs situation. Some guys will learn, some guys won't. My thing is street racing and guys. That's an everyday occurrence. Look, high school is a mile down the road for me. You know how many times I see people racing each other? I mean, you probably see people racing at night all the time, or just being reckless, you know, driving, mm-hmm. You know, and shoot, on their phones, whatever you want to do. So we could look at these things, right, and measure and say, hey, you know, we all have to do better. So, but I know we're talking about them, like, oh, don't turn it on us, JD. Don't look at us. Well, we have to have some type of self-reflection. We should. Because that's the only way we could be empathetic. Okay? Have a little bit of compassion for Rashid Rice. Because we don't do that, right? Well, what if it's your family? Man, I would hate for it to be my family. I would hate for it to be me. Some guy was like, oh, you lucky you weren't you on the road. I said, yeah, you either. You either, right? But this is how we have to deal with it. These are the things we have to deal with. Whatever happened, he has to deal with these things, okay? So we got to allow that process to work out, okay? But, man, like I said, many of us, we've seen things that people have done wrong. And the one thing, like I said, got to this thing is I do see the vitriol. I do see the hate. I've seen some things that is absolutely nasty, you know, bigotry, the type of things that people have said. Like, you know, some people might say that's okay. I don't think if you go to that route, because some people use it for maybe their game, maybe they're, you know, trying to make a point. What is the point we try to make, right? Let he who has not seen cast a first stone. Amen, Scott. No doubt about it. Amen. I know I would have been the one like it's picking rock up, like, oh, well, shoot, what have I done? And go back, look at all the things that I've done and didn't get caught. I'm like, oh, my, hope nobody finds out about that. So,
yeah, so some of the comments we've gotten on our page from the updates we've done with this Rashid Rice thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't think people even thought like this anymore. I mean, obviously, I know it's still some of this talk. It does exist, but for the fact that people are so emboldened to say some of the stuff they've said in our comments regarding this issue is just really like mind blowing. Actually, yeah.
And it's you. And you know what? It's usually the crazy part is you might just hate him because he's not on your squad. because he plays for the Chiefs. Yeah. That's the crazy part to me. Like when you have fealty to a particular, you know, team, and you're glad that somebody else's life ain't going good, you need help. Yeah. You in that court, you need the help. Buddy, you the one that needs the grace. Okay. Probably need to check yourself on some things, but yeah, man, this is hard to hear. I feel sorry for this entire thing, for everybody involved. I feel sorry for it. For him, the people that was involved, I hope they get restitution. I hope they get the type of justice they need. He's going to pay the piper like he should. Hopefully, man, everybody's lives can move on to a better direction from here, right? From this bad, bad outcome. Yeah. So,
agreed.
Yeah, Donna said, I think that we have forgotten compassion in our country. Absolutely. No doubt. There's a lack of compassion going on in this world, okay? And we see a lot of the bad actors, and I think it's part of the problem because we see a whole lot of the bad actors that immediately come on and pile on people when somebody does something wrong, right? I don't think that's a full indication. Everybody out here, there's some really good people out here, some really good hearts, okay? Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes we don't. We see some of these talking heads get up there and, you know, I forgot, I seen one of the dudes, you know, and they had a really good take on it, but he was just, Michael, I can't think of Michael, the one with the glasses.
Michael Irvin?
No. I see his face. I can't think of his name. But he was just talking about, like, am I wrong? Am I as bad as Rashee Rice when I text on the phone and looking at, and one was like, no, you're not. I'm like, well, yes, you are. Being reckless. Like, I'm glad you're recognizing that. And I made a point like this. I said, there are more accidents and deaths with people that are on their phones than it is with, you know, street racing. Okay. So you do we want to look at that? The you know, I said, it's all wrong. Let's call wrong, wrong, right? Let's call wrong, wrong. So Michael Smith, but that's it. There you go. That's it. Michael Smith, brother. Appreciate you. I'm the Brown. I'm the Brown's on it.
Oh, he knows his stuff.
Yeah. No, I listen to it. I listen to different ones say that. Yeah, I mean, we need to hold them accountable, responsible. Sure. What do we do next? Too many keyboard warriors these days. People don't know what others are going through and are too quick to judge, etc. Ghost Hunter, 1974. No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. I talk about this with people who may be dealing with, you know, with drugs. It's people that's on drugs, Marcus. It's people who are hooked on drugs. Some people are just, they can't get out of their own way and things happen. Should I not have any compassion? I'm like, man, like, why don't you just change your life? Sometimes the drugs just take over.
Yep.
You think people like want to, you know, and it changes thought process and stuff like that? I'm like, man, there's a real battle there. Like, not having compassion for that person's struggle, right, is what that is. We don't have no struggle for that? No compassion, empathy for the struggle that people go through? And I just, man, sometimes we just need a better way, because if I'm feeling that I'm trying to do more so the will of God, am I trying to give that forgiveness and grace like I've been given? That's what I think. Am I doing his will, or is it mine that I'm thinking? So, all right, I'll leave it there. I know it's enough kind of talking about that for those things, man. We'll keep an eye on these things. I just hate it for Rashee Rice. I hate it for the families that was involved and everybody. I just want everything to move forward in the right direction for reconciliation. I think he's lamenting. He's very remorseful for this, and I'm glad he's taking account. So, hope everything comes out for the better. So, thank you, everybody, for saying all these things. So,
yeah, we'll be keeping this a constant eye on this as the things continue to evolve. Last comment on this, Taryn Young: I would not get rid of Rice. I would support a fair punishment, then start working on restoring a young man's life.
Amen.
Agreed, man.
Wonderful, Taryn. Appreciate it. This is what, definitely sad. Definitely sad.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, so that was the off the field stuff. Now we're gonna get back to the on the field stuff. So, you know, JD, like we know, life goes on, whether it's going on in the NFL, NBA, all this stuff in general, life goes on. If you're not there, things are gonna continue to happen, and that's one of the things that can be a threat as far as if you are gonna do these things off the field, mistakes. You know, he's young, but mm-hmm. stuff's going to happen. Life continues. The NFL doesn't stop because you know one guy's going to go to jail or get fined or whatnot. So the Chiefs have been like they were with Rice and Hollywood Brown. They're continuing mm-hmm. to work out with guys, and we saw videos of Kadarius Toney, or we saw Kadarius videos of Sky Moore, Justin Ross, Hollywood Brown last week. And then today, right before I came on, you got Kadarius Toney in line catching balls from Patrick Mahomes. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, JD. You said if we start to see videos of other guys working out and Kadarius Toney not there, that's mm-hmm. when you could say, okay, there's something going on there, red flag there. Watch, he may not be. I could see a Chiefs where he would not be on this team. Now we're 2 weeks away from 2 weeks after this whole Rashee Rice stuff. You got the newcomer Hollywood Brown there. You mm-hmm. got Sky there. You got Justin Ross there. Our training camp superhero Justin Ross. Sky yeah. Moore. You know, maybe building back up a little bit this year. And then Kadarius Toney's coming in there and getting reps with Rashee Rice with this whole murky situation going on with Rashee Rice. JD, how excited and happy are you to see that? Think about all the stuff we've heard with Kadarius Toney. The you know, he saying he wasn't actually injured. The healthy scratch Super Bowl. And fast forward to April, he's running routes in Texas with Patrick Mahomes and the newcomer Hollywood Brown and some of the guys already on the squad. How excited are you to maybe we can actually see a little bit of Kadarius Toney this year and actually in a role where that may actually suit him and the fact that he's actually getting routes with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason right now?
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, that's where he should be. If you're going to buy in, you're going to be all in. Then you got to be down there working out with the rest of the guys. Hopefully this is indication of him buying all the way in. Hopefully he's healthy and doing this. And then I want to see more of it. When I'm looking at these names, Hollywood, KT, Sky, and Justin, all working out with Pat. Those are the guys that need to work out with Pat. Those guys are going to benefit from working out with Pat right now. They're going to just get a lot better, get on the same page. But I like the four that's there. These four guys are all talented guys. They are. Hollywood Brown, we've seen what he's been able to do in the league. Now having an elite quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, he's just going to get even better. Okay. Can't wait to see it. KT, like I said, I hope he's buying into it, going out there, seeing what other people are doing. Hope he understands and realizes, like, look, man, this thing is on the line. This might be your last shot to actually fit in with a team that people ain't talking bad about you, right? Somebody's talking about like the grace that Andy Reese shows, like he's a leader of men. Absolutely. Hopefully he let him know, like, look, man, this no more of this craziness. Okay. You're gonna buy in, this is what it's gonna be. You got to show me. And hopefully he did it on his own. Hopefully Pat called, he's like, yeah, man, I'll come on down there. So I think this is important. Sky Moore, I always said Sky was one of those guys that's gonna take some time to develop. Hopefully this year might be a breakout year for Sky. Okay. Hopefully get a little bit more opportunity to do some things, get a little bit more confidence to understand like, okay, I'm starting to figure this thing out, right? So it's good to see him down there. Justin Ross, right? Now, I do think with this thing happening with Rashee Rice, unfortunate incident, kind of opened the door for Justin Ross to be there, okay? Might be a pathway for him to actually get a little bit more playing time. We know he's talented. We know he can catch football. He did something wrong in the past off season. Hope he's learned his lesson. I think he has. I think maybe he's like, look, you know, there's certain things that guys can and cannot do, right? And I think he's learned his lesson. I think he's like, look, I need to be locked in all the way. If Pat's there, I got to be there. I don't care if Pat is going to the Lakers game. I better be five rows up. Okay, if I can't get floor seats, I better be five rows up. All right. If that sucker's walking the dog, I better be out there like, man, I'll take him the next half mile for you, Pat. Don't worry about it. And I'll pick up the poop, whatever it is, right? Just being silly. But I think that it has to be that level of buy-in. Okay. I think it has to necessarily be that level, man. It really does. So I like all four of these guys being there, man. That's so important. That's where they need to be. That's what he need to be, especially this offseason. So,
how much of this, like for last week, KT wasn't there, and that when the video released like Friday, I was going to make the topic. And that's the thing. The topic for tonight's show, with this topic, was going to be KT's not there. What do you make of it? You said there's going to be a red flag if he wasn't there, and I had to remake everything because what happened? He's there. And my question is, how much do you think the Rashee Rice stuff that's going on with, you know, having our seemingly number one receiver going mm-hmm. through legal trouble, how much do you think that has kind of brought these guys together? What, be it, you mentioned Justin Ross could actually see a pathway of getting looks, be it that, be it just a kind of like, hey man, like we're still a unit. We need to come together and we need to work our asses off. Do you think that it has played a role in like getting these guys together? Like, hey man, we need to look right. We need to get together here.
I'll tell you what, with what's happening to Rashee Rice, I think because this is a small group, you know, when you're on a team, man, you got each other's backs. And I think this has played a part. I don't know how big, but these guys are looking at it. And they hate to see Rashee Rice going through it, man. You hate to see it. One of your brothers going through this type of pain. So, yeah, it's probably brought them a little bit closer together, right? I mean, I can imagine the conversation they have with one another. So if my brothers are struggling, man, I'm right there with them. I wonder what I could do to help out, what we need to do as a family to pick each other up, okay? And look, they're going to find criticism because of the guy that's out there, right? KT, people can wait, you know, where he's at and not buying in. Yeah, it would have been a bad look if he wasn't there. So, yeah, show up. So now I'm sure it's being reiterated like, hey, man, look, you got to be here. You know, we see the type of things that are going on outside of this. We need to all be here for one another. We need to get our stuff straight. And so this is going to be it. The selfish part will be like, oh man, ain't got nothing to do with me. That's a man, shoot, it's family. It's family. He goes through something, we all going through it. That's how it works. And if you're not bought in and you just, you know, you want to be the selfish guy, like, nah, look, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Fine, be that guy. Okay. And you're going to show yourself to be that guy. They're going to find out. And I'm sure your days are numbered. You don't want to be here, right? So, yeah, man, we when I'm telling you, for a team, and we're just a tight-knit group of guys. You know, I talk to my teammates, man, all the time. Well, every single day. I talk to my teammates every single day. Some of them, you know what I mean? I have a different text feeds. One feed I got 20 guys on, another feed I got like 12, another feed I got like 8. You know what I'm saying? These are everyday conversations. And it's, you know, sending jokes or talking about certain things. And this is what we do. This is your family. This is the guy that you've been going to war with every single day. Okay, you've been hanging out with, eating dinner with. You know what I mean? You know your families. How's everybody doing? How the kids are doing? You know, some brother, Uncle Jason. I know they get, hey, Uncle Jason. You know, I'm up to them, right? That's how it is. My kids, vice versa. They know my kids. And so how are they doing? What's going on with them? So when you have that type of village where everybody loves one another and actually looking for everybody's success, hoping everybody's doing well, that's very important. It's very important. And I think just with this type of tragic situation, Rashee Rice brought everybody a little bit together, man. Brought a little bit together.
And do you think this can dispel the notion that that Kadarius Toney, there's bad blood with Kadarius Toney and the Chiefs, the fact that he's running routes with Patrick Mahomes right now?
I think it's put him on a hot seat. And I'm sure they've had this conversation. And I'm sure he's aware of that. And I'm sure he's been made aware of that. So that's all I'll say about it. But it sometimes you gotta have a, you know, no nonsense approach to things. And I'm telling you, they get rid of guys. Hey, teams don't need you. You know, the thing that really guys really understand when you get to the NFL is they're going to be able to do without you. They can't. Several guys can play in any positions, and they'll get rid of you anytime they need to get rid of you. That's the way it works. So you ain't so bigger than the Chiefs. You ain't bigger than KC. You're not bigger than the NFL. You're not. There's people, thousands of people knocking on the doors that have talent. They don't need anybody, okay? They're gonna be able to win without you. And if they don't, they can't, they're not gonna have a guy to disrupt the team. They're like, look, we'd rather lose than win with a guy like this. I can remember saying Al Saunders, I ain't gonna say who he used to talk about. We used to be on film, you would talk about this receiver, and he's just like, this guy can't play for me. He can't play with us. And it wasn't, I'm sure the guy might have been a nice guy, but what was required, at least for us, our standard, what we had on the team, Al just thought he didn't fit there, okay? From what he heard, same thing about the guy. And so it goes around the NFL. These coaches are talking all the time, too. Go out to the coaches' conferences. Hey, man, they talking about these guys. You ain't going to get away from it. What you got away with at the Chiefs and something happened, do not think you go in some other place and they don't know anything about it. They're going to know it all. They're going to know it all. Sometimes these guys get followed. There's certain guys they might follow. For real.
Damn.
See what they do. I just, man, look, if money involved, they ain't got no time to waste no money on somebody who is who's a problem. Who's a problem. So I just say it that, right?
Yeah. Sending out PIs on players, huh?
Hey, man. Yo, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. And the thing is, and you may not know it, but somebody, a coach might let you know, like, hey, man, look, we watching you. We got other things going on. Look, police departments got moles, okay? When guys do things off-season, police department knows they got, look, TMZ, you wonder why TMZ is always where they are, right? Yeah. Well, how's TMZ is always on the scene? Well, they get the story first. Because somebody there inside decided to say, hey, look what's going on with this guy, okay?
Well, also, to the media, when I worked in local news, I was smaller scale than what the national news stuff, but there'd be times where, like, the local police department was going to go raid something. They would let our office know, like, hey, 2 o'clock, be blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, okay, all right, news crew, get over there and watch the camera crews go in and raid so-and-so's house or whatnot. So, like, yeah, and there are elements of that, for sure.
Oh, hey, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, it's what's going on. Hey, this guy was involved in such. Believe me, I've had when I was in Kansas City, y'all family, I can tell y'all this, right? I can tell y'all. It's not a real big deal. But I remember that I was driving my Roush Mustang. Beautiful car. Driving. I wasn't racing anything like that. Going down the road, and I got a flat tire. So I pull over to change my tire. And so when I'm changing my tire, you know, police pull up behind me, you know, boop, boop. Hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm over changing my tire. I got a flat. You know, they go, okay, you need to have, no, I was, you know, ID. Sure. Yeah, no problem. Well, they talking to me. The guy realized, like, oh my gosh, like Jason Dunn. I'm like, yeah, how you doing? Like, oh man, I thought it was you. Yeah. So we're talking. Well, while we're talking, there's the cops who's running my, you know, my name and all of that, right? So while we're talking, yeah. Are you sure? Okay. So I'm like, what's going on? He said, well, we found out, man, that your license is suspended. And it's suspended maybe off of a traffic ticket or something you didn't pay. You didn't get to go to court. This is probably in Kentucky. I was living, you know, in Kansas City. Right. Got a lot of stories. Got a lot of stories. And he was just like, man, Jason, he's like, shoot. He said, well, it's suspended. You're driving on suspended license. He said, man, we had to take you in. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. He said, hold on, man. Let me. So he gets on here. He's like, hey, listen, you know, this is Jason. Jason said he'll take care of the traffic ticket in the morning. No problem. You know, because I was just like, well, I'll go ahead and take care of it. No big deal. He's like, yeah. He said, you know, and he's talking to a sergeant. And so while he's talking to Sergeant, I don't care who it is, blah, blah, blah. You need to take, I can hear him. And he's just like, you can see the guy, he's looking at me like shaking his head, like, man, I can't believe this. Like, he's going crazy. And so he's like, look, Jason, he said, man, I got to take you in. You heard my sergeant. I was like, man, come on. He's like, man, orders are orders. So I'm like, all right, cool, no problem. So I said, man, you got to put the cuffs on me. He's like, no. He said, don't worry about it. He said, look, just you can drive up in the front seat with me. I'm like, all right, cool. So I actually went to the police station. I'm driving in the front seat like the ride arounds. Like, it was more like a ride around. Like, yeah, we're talking. He drive me police station. I get to the police station, right? And while I'm there, I get a call on my phone. Well, it's a reporter from Kansas City calls me.
Oh, no.
I'm like, hey, what's going on? I ain't going to tell you who the reporter was. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, hey, Jason, I heard you at the police station. Man, everything all right? I'm like, yeah. I mean, how'd you know I was at the police station? He's like, oh, you know, I'm like, oh, I get it. So while I'm sitting over there like this on the phone, I'm looking at the policeman at the police station. I'm like, one of these suckers done said they knew I was coming in. And so when I got there, they was just like, look, man, you can too bail on you be released on your own reconnaissance. I think it was like 200 bail. I was like, man, I had it in my pocket. Bop, bop. I'm like, hey, cool. Took care of it in the morning, no big deal. But I'm just saying from that, like I hadn't even got the police station good before I'm getting a call from the reporter. Okay? From the reporter. And so that's, you know, these things do happen. They do happen. It's a little story. Little story right there.
That's JD. Crazy. I mean, I'm not surprised by that at all.
No.
That's crazy. And just to based on the story aspect of it, all that from your tire getting flat, all that transpires because your tire got flat.
Oh, yeah. No. Listen.
Crazy.
City G, did anyone ask for your autograph? That's happened before. That's happened before. They had a cop. It's like, hey, man, you know, you don't. I remember I was like, hey, man, like, yeah, like you're going to get me for it. Same thing. So sometimes, you know, if you're getting tickets and stuff like, oh, I'll pay it later and whatever, like it's, you know, and sure enough, license is suspended. Like, daggone, it should have took care of this, should have taken care of that, whatever. And it could be something like as innocent as that, like, daggone, like, you know, you got a lot going on. You're playing football, you know, something happens and shoot, here it is. Well, that somebody asked for an autograph one other time I went to the police station. And this is when I was playing with Philly. I was actually had presence in the car. They took me in, same thing. And they was trying to give me cupcakes and cookies and all type of thing. I'm like, man, I don't want none of this, but I'm ready to get a, you know, now. So yeah, no.
Noah John was asking if the reporter was Jason Whitlock. Was it Jason Whitlock?
No, it wasn't Whit. It wasn't Whit.
Yeah.
Me and Whit talked about
it. The news station listening to police frequencies, that's why. Yeah. Yeah, they do, but that would be to say Jason Dunn was going to the police station at that moment. That was definitely someone doing that. It's just very general stuff gets posted on.
Yeah, screen. Yeah. Well, we got Jason Dunn going, huh? Like, what?
Yeah, that would not be on there.
Yeah, you definitely was like high speed chase or something. Like, it would be like a car you don't quite know, but yeah, man. But there's, you know, we know how these things do work. You know how they do work. So
I also think another element to all these receivers coming besides Rashee Rice component of this and potential, you know, is also the fact that on top of the Rashee Rice stuff, there was already rumblings of us going to draft a receiver. So now on top of that, the Rashee Rice stuff, and it's like, okay, maybe it's time we need to ball out and look good because there's going to be another receiver or two coming to Kansas City. We need to buck up.
Well, that's what I was saying. I think it's important that we do get somebody who is a veteran guy. And I think we get in the draft, get a couple of dudes. You know what I mean? So, you know, with the four that we have right here, Hollywood, KT, Sky, and Justin, you'll get two guys in the draft or, you know, maybe a veteran guy, another guy in the draft, a no-miss guy. Shoot, I think you'd be good. I think, shoot, with that, you should be good. Hollywood, veteran receiver who's capable of doing some things that may not cost a whole lot of money, and a no-miss guy in the first round, you know, or the second. Or get two guys, like this when we did our draft show, I'd put two guys on there. So there's some guys out there, man, that can ball. Some guys that go out there and can ball. Who's to say that whoever we get couldn't emulate what Rashee Rice did for us last year, right? So,
yeah, no, 100%. And then Justin Watson, Justin Ross, or Justin Watson, what hasn't been to any of these clinics so far that Mahomes has put on, but that's also another guy in that room too as well. So there's some guys there, but yeah, I do think this is the draft as we mentioned on our mock draft show on Monday. And if you haven't checked that out, please check out our show for Monday. JD and Tasia both give us a really good in-depth. Look at their first mock draft of the season.
Competition is good. Competition is really good. Really good for these guys. And so, yeah, throw numbers in it. Yeah, without a doubt. So it's like sink or swim. What are you going to do? You see a couple big dogs come through here. So Watson's still on the contract. I don't mean nothing. They could get rid of him like that.
Yeah.
Hey, the only contract that I think they're gonna hold on to is Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Jones. Yeah. No, some of these money Dan gave, and
yeah,
we've seen like Diggs had a hit on like with 30 million, 31, and then Russell Wilson was like 32.
Yeah,
he's like, hey, we just here. We're gonna give them they walking papers. We don't care what it looks like.
It throws out that whole argument of they're under contract. That doesn't mean teams are showing that doesn't really mean anything anymore.
Nothing. It don't mean anything. You know, a little something they throw to it, but hey, look, if they need to get rid of a guy and they're like, look, we can get better. Fine, we'll do it this way. So
JD, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So obviously we did a mock draft show Monday. Neither of you guys had tight ends in your draft, or at least in your first four rounds. But Ben Sinnott of Kansas State was hosted in Kansas City yesterday. Just a little bit about him. At the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine, the 21-year-old weighed in at just under 6'4" and 250 pounds. He proceeded to post exceptional testing with a 4.68 40-yard dash, a 40-inch vertical, 126-inch broad jump, a 6.823 cone, and a 4.23 short shuttle. He posted the best first score at 97.4% of any tight end in the 2024 class and the second best agility score at 92.6 to only Colorado State's Dahlin Hulker. JD, if anyone can tell us about tight ends, it's you. And I think everyone in the chat knows that. Everyone who watches our shows know that. It's you.
Sir.
And
yes,
sir. Since we have the doctor of tight ends right here, the PhD with tight end, yeah, what do you think about Ben Sinnott, and what do you think his potential fit is in Kansas City?
I like Ben Sinnott. I do. Matter of fact, in my draft that I did, my mock draft, I think I have him on here several times. But I think I got him in the fourth round, and maybe – shoot, let me see. Matter of fact, I'll go through it. This one right here, had him in the fourth round. They gave me a C-plus for him. You know how they grade? Like, I was, you know, that's the pick. C-plus. Fourth round, C plus. Fourth round, C plus. So all these, he was getting C pluses. Was a fourth round. I think he's a very talented tight end. I do. Would they utilize him more of the H back type of guy? Possibly. I think the reason they brought in what's the name of the tight end that we got,
Irv,
was kind of the same build, some of the things they do, you know, kind of the same way. But I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's a good talent. I do. I think he'll work well in Kansas City for what he does. Would he have 40-inch vertical? Woo! 10, I think it's 10 foot on the West Lament, on the broad jump. So he's athletic. When I see him move, he's athletic, man. He gets open, catches the football, runs well with it. He's been watching a whole lot of Travis Kelce. You know, great place for him to be. Watch the, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest ever do it. And so when you're sitting up, when you're watching this guy, you emulate the things that he does. But he is without a doubt a baller. I like him a lot. It'd be good to have him if we were able to get him. I think it really would. I don't know what round they're thinking about getting him in. Is he a third, fourth, fifth round pick guy? Yeah, possibly. I think so. I think he's somebody you might be able to wait to the fourth round. There's a couple of guys too, man, tight ends that explode athletically on film that do a great job. But we understand that Travis Kelce is getting to maybe playing maybe a couple more years and maybe hang it up. So Ben will come in and give us a good reserve with Noah Gray and Irv, right, on the team. He'll learn a lot. And shoot, a guy like this, when you bring him in, he'll learn a whole lot from Travis. He'll learn a whole lot. I think that's the reason why you do bring a guy like this in if you wanted to go their route. But to me, I think it'd be a vital move to bring a guy like this. And if you're looking to try to be the heir apparent for, you know, Travis Kelce, you know, but that's big shoes to fill. You just got to realize you may not get that production to getting a guy that's going to catch 90, 200 balls a year. And that's fine. Anything you get somewhere close to it, 60 or 70, you good. you're good. So,
yeah. Obviously, this is a guy who's coming to visit Kansas City. It's why, you know, it's why we're talking about it. But just on your first glance at this tight end class, mm-hmm. is there any guy who stands out to you that you really like? I know you say you like Sinnott here, but like, is there anybody that you've seen that's like? I know one guy that stood out to a few people, and there was rumored interest that we're interested in the tight end from Iowa, Eric All. It's apparently yeah. Iowa produces tight ends. I think everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. And then Theo Johnson from Penn State's another name that I've heard as far as potential interest there in bringing them on. But any guys that stood out to you so far?
No, so I really did a deep dive on the tight ends. I've looked at a couple guys that are not like those top guys, because I think you can find a tight end that has like that sneaky good athletic ability that you can find a gym in the later rounds. I really do. So I like the guy from Florida State. He's pretty good. The guy from Texas. Mm-hmm. I can't name names right now. I've been kind of watching them.
Jatavion Sanders.
Jatavion Sanders, yeah. So they do a good job. Jatavion Sanders, you know, is he? He's not going to put his hands on anybody. Jaheim Bell is another guy that runs pretty well. I like what he does. Yeah, from FSU. Yeah, that's him. All these guys do a good job. You know me. Look, I like hitting people in the mouth, okay? And if you look like you ain't going to hit somebody in the mouth, man, I'm going to move from you, okay? I'm going to move from you. But Ben, he can hit people in the mouth. I've seen him hit guys. He don't mind blocking. He, matter of fact, he loads up on folks. So that's why I like him a lot, okay? He doesn't shy away from the contact. I really like it. Dallin Hooker from CSU, yes, he's really good. Yeah, yep, he's really good. So you got some good tight ends, man. There's some good tight ends out there. They'll probably be later round guys that you'll see. Maybe somebody sneaks in the second, third, fourth, you know. So it's a good class. I don't think everybody's looking at it how, you know, was what it was like last year, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's probably the least talked about position group, I would say, of this draft class.
And to be honest with you, if you start looking around the league, everybody's got a pretty solid tight end. That's part of the problem. Because teams just started getting some good guys. You know, you start looking at, you know.
Tight end committees. You're starting to see a lot of tight end committees now. A lot of teams are just going with, like, multiple guys, like the Bills, Dawson Knox, and Kincaid. The Packers – Kraft and Musgrave. I mean, every team's starting to build a tight end kind of like group.
That's how we used to do it back in the day, baby. You know, we used to run the two tight end committee. That's what we was doing, hurting folks. So, yeah, I do believe that.
UNTG, Colts had Marcus Pollard and Dallas Clark. Yeah, mm-hmm. everyone had like the two tight ends. Everyone had two solid guys.
Two solid guys, man. And we the ones that started the. You know, the trend, to be honest with you, we just started seeing other teams like, huh, what if they could, you know, we could try to do something to mimic those things that they do out there in Kansas City. And we started seeing a little bit more. Same thing in San Diego and whatnot, because we had so much success for it. So,
But people credit Belichick for the two tight ends, though. Well, Belichick drafted Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. What, in 2012? Come on, get out of here.
Come on, man. Belichick see what we were doing back then and understood it, because we was loading heads up back then. So, and that lasted all the way into 2008. So,
yep. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to get to our final topic here is quick reaction. So after our show last week, we kind of hinted at this possibly happening. Mike Dana is coming back to Kansas City, baby, and we are both happy about it. We were talking about the rumors of him coming back, and now it's here. So Chiefs are bringing back Mike Dana on a 3-year deal worth up to $24 million with $13 million in guaranteed money. The team aimed to get this deal done after the Snead trade and ahead of the 2024 draft. This will be Dana's second NFL contract in Kansas City and the first Brett Veach draft pick to get a multi-year deal to return to the team.
Oh.
I think that is probably the most wild part of that right there. Because the thing about all the guys he's re-signed, those are John Dorsey draft picks. and was it Chris Jones and Mahomes being those two. But then this is his first draft pick that he's going to give a multi-year deal to. JD, we talked about his importance, what he brought to this team, the energy, obviously his importance this coming year with Charles Omenihu out for at least half the season. What great, just a great deal overall. I'd say a bargain for both sides, but for us, but also a good deal for him because, you know, he was a fifth-round pick. Fifth-round picks weren't making a lot of money. Now he's got $13 million guaranteed in 3 years for $24 million. JD, what are your thoughts on this move?
I don't think we can heap enough praise on Mike Dana. Congratulations for him for signing this deal. Congratulations with the Chiefs getting this thing done. He was one of the guys that was staple in the defense, what we did. And every guy in the locker room understood what he brought to the table. And so when they talk about the one little series they were talking about, like who's the guy that everybody looked, Mike Dana, he's a guy. He's a hard worker. He's the one that deserves it. And so when your guy's rooting for you, who's on the team, they bring your name up because they see the effort that you give every single day. They see what type of teammate that you are. The team recognizes it. Those things are important. And he got this deal based off of everything he gave to the Chiefs, okay? Not just his talent alone, because he's a very talented guy. I think he had, 6.5 sacks last year? Not looking at his stats, but I think it was somewhere around there. And I think it's something he could get better. He can get better at. But he deserved this. He absolutely deserved it. And I think, you know, when you go into it, you go into the negotiation, when people stand up on the table for you and they talk about your character, what type of teammate you are, it speaks volumes. Okay. It does. And it doesn't go unnoticed. It, you know, because everybody's talking about it around the room and, you know, coaches see it. I know Spags is like, hey, man, look, Mike Dana is the guy we need here, okay? 3 years, absolutely give it to him. Whatever you can give to him, he deserves it. Give it to him. So I'm so happy for Mike Dana because he brings a whole lot to the team. At the defensive end playing position, he's got a good motor on him. He's got good hands. He makes plays. He makes plays. So, yeah, man, congratulations, Mike, man. Glad you're here. I'm glad you're here for the next 3 years, brother. But like I said, man, well deserving of this deal, well deserving of it.
I'm still stunned that no other team got it. Because I remember during this year, JD, we were talking to Mike Dana. I'm like, oh, well, it's probably his last year in Kansas City. He's going to go out and get paid by a lot of money by another team. And it just didn't happen. And it's really surprising. I thought once Harbaugh came to the Los Angeles, he was going to bring one of his old guys back from his Michigan squad. Yeah. It didn't happen, and I'm happy it didn't happen. But, you know, and you could see the players from the team were so happy that he got paid and staying in Kansas City. I thought that was awesome to see. Usually you could tell how beloved a guy is in the locker room based on his peers and how they tweet about stuff, especially nowadays everyone's tweeting. But everyone was so ecstatic about it. I think I saw one of the other chief accounts that had tweeted saying, how are you feeling about this Mike Dana move? And then Chris Jones commented on it saying, great. I mean, like, everyone's loving it, and it was really awesome to really see everyone kind of rally and praise Mike Dana for this.
Yeah. Like I said last time we were talking about it, if we was going to bring him back or not, I said the way that we value Mike Dana, other teams may not value Mike Dana for what he does, and a lot of it is the system, what they run defensively. Some teams just thought, like, hey, man, like, you know, he's an undersized defensive end. We can't really use him. And we don't think he's worth that money. So I'm sure he went out to try to get some good things. And he probably just didn't get what he thought he deserved. And so why not go back to where you are being, you know, held in high esteem, right? Why not go somewhere you're being celebrated, where everybody appreciates the thing that you do. And so that without a doubt meant the Chiefs. It meant the Chiefs. And so the Chiefs was like, man, look, hey, Mike, if you can go out there and get something, a great deal, please go do it. And I'm sure the Chief wouldn't fault him for that whatsoever, because everybody deserves a payday. But a guy that you root for on the team just because of who he is, you want him. You want success for him. You want him to get a big contract. And so the Chiefs is like, okay, fine. He didn't get what he wanted. Come on home, man. You know, we got a place for you here. We could definitely use you. We love you. And so let's reward you for the job well done. Like I said, I can't heap enough praise for Mike Dana for what he's did here. But yeah, without a doubt, other teams might not have seen what he had about him and what he brought to the table. But I'm glad the Chiefs didn't, you know, didn't look past it. No.
Yeah. And I love the trend. It's 1 year deals. And then the three guys we've kept on defense are all at, I mean, obviously I think Jones is what, 5 years, but it would say everyone says essentially 3 years, whatever, but 3 to 5 years within Drew Dana with three. And then Jones with his deal that he got. So I'm loving that. We're kind of trying to keep those guys intact. And yeah, I love it. A guy who was a late round pick who, you know, fought and clawed to get what he got, man, whether it's playing inside, everyone says an undersized D tackle, and then look, coming in and playing DT and then playing DM. And he's really a hard worker, and it shows. I'm glad, you know, he got his due.
Well deserved, man. Well deserved payday. Well deserved payday. So,
yes, sir.
Dash and Dunn, y'all gonna be at training camp? I don't know, Marcus. You gonna be at training camp?
If you go out, I'll try to make it out. I'll try to make it out this whole season. I will try.
You know what? We need to put something together, man. Head out there for training camp. How about that?
Okay,
let's do it, man. I love to get at training camp. I missed it, you know, past few years, and it just always seems like when they have like the alumni day and all of that, I'm always doing something else.
It just with my flag. That's like prime flag football season for me.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
As long as I'm out there on a Sunday, I should be good, JD. I should be good.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, G Pick. I would love to meet you all out there. No doubt, brother. We'll let you know when it comes down to the plan. All right. You know, I can't really make plans this far out. So we just, things come up.
It's a long
things
time. Right, yeah. Yeah. Life and family happen, man.
Yeah. I'm the Brown, man. What we do, man. So we had to put something together so we can meet everybody here in the chat one time. You know what I'm saying? Put something together, man. I would love to do that.
Matter of fact,
get
a group photo with all the Chief Concern maniacs out there.
Group photo, man. I would love to go and have dinner. Like when I went out there for the draft, I think last year we were talking, and I was able to meet up with some of the other podcasters and whatnot, at my guys Ortego's, Joe Perez's place.
That's right.
Had a great time. We never got to put that episode out either, but it was a good time, man. Seeing all the guys, just had a wonderful time, man. Eating some pizza, you know, talking some ball, you know, having a couple of sips. Wonderful, wonderful time, man. So, yeah. Wendy, you could cook. All right. Shoot, you could cook. Put it on the grill. I think go send the grill some food up. I'm down with it, man. I'm down with it.
Shoot,
I might have to put something down, man. Maybe have dinner on me, okay? Bring everybody out. And we'll do like an episode. How about we do that? We find some place, maybe Ortego's or something like that, and have an episode. Have other people come in. That'd be awesome. That is awesome. Love to do that.
I love that.
So, yeah, invite some other guys, some other Chief players out there. So, be a good time.
We definitely whip something up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, everyone, we loved the conversation you guys had before we came on air and then and during and obviously always contributing to what we have to talk about on the show. I love it. Love you guys. Wendy, G-Pig, Andrea, Scott, About Time, Omni Brown, everybody. Noah John Marshall, Donna. Everyone,
yeah, man, appreciate you, Andrew Scott, Charles, Mike, G Pick, About Time. Definitely come up from Mississippi to KY, man. Let me know. We'll eat some pizza or something, or we'll do some good old Kentucky barbecue. You know, we have some things here. Y'all let me know. Hit me up on DM. I'm down to do it. Kind of with a few people. I'm the Brown. Shoot, let me see who else is here. Kareem, Joe Delaney, aka Joe Delaney. Okay, what's up, brother? Donna Conkren. I didn't say Wendy, Demonte Green Beans. I don't know if you're still there or not. But love each and every one of y'all. Rick Henderson, see you out there, KSU 1989. Everybody out here. I can't see because I don't have like you have to see who's all on here.
Okay.
I can just see that. But love each and every one of you guys. Y'all take care. Have a great week. You know, if something comes up, man, we might just shoot it like a quick little thing to put this out. I'm always down to do it. I think Marcus is too. Saturday, I'm going to be on Lance of Spoken's them. I'm going to be on this show.
Okay? Oh, I got Lance.
Yeah. We're going to get out there and start talking a little bit, and get to visit Lance, talk about this, everything out here, man. So it'll be a good time.
Yeah, Lance has some questions about me, about you, JD, to me. He was like, I have to have JD on my shows. I need to talk about his mock draft. I really do. He really interested me with the two – I'm just going to give you a hint. The two receivers really interests him, and he wants you to talk about it. So okay. I'm sure a lot of people are going to want you to talk about it because, you know, I love – you and I are in the same boat when it comes to the Green Bay Packers offense and what they've done with the receiver room. And I think that is the method that we need to follow, the model we need to follow. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lance has spoken Saturday at noon Central Time. Go check out JD on Lance the Spoken's podcast. He's a good dude, and JD's a good dude, so it's going to be a good one.
Absolutely. Love you all. John Marsh, good seeing you in here, brother. Been a minute. All you, everybody in here, love you. Y'all take care. Have a good time. Holler at y'all soon. All right, Marcus, love you, brother. All right.
Love you, everyone. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.